From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. There are topics we've come to expect will be controversial in our politics. Guns, for one. Abortion, for another. But in recent years, almost as much controversy has been riled up around the topic of state laws governing bathrooms. The latest iteration of this in Illinois has to do with gender-neutral restrooms. Those are nothing new. Many businesses have had gender-neutral bathrooms for years now, or in some cases they're called family restrooms. But under state law, such restrooms have to be single occupancy, designed for one person at a time, with a door that locks. But this spring, the Illinois General Assembly approved legislation that would allow for, and that's important, it would allow for multi-occupancy all-gender bathrooms. It passed both the House and Senate, but it would have to be signed by Governor J.B. Pritzker before becoming law. To talk about this, we're splitting our conversation into three parts. Later in the show, we'll hear from advocates about some of the real-world implications of this idea. And in a little while, we'll hear from a state representative who opposed the legislation. But first, to talk about what's in the bill and why it came about, we're joined by Illinois State Senator Mike Simmons. He's a Democrat representing the north side of Chicago, and he was one of the co-sponsors of this legislation in the Senate. Senator Simmons, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, as ever, if you want to join our conversation, the number to do so is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Senator, can you talk through what's some of the reasoning behind this legislation? How did it come about?
Well, you know, we in Illinois and all across the country have many Americans, many people in our state who are gender expansive. And, you know, what we know is that many of them don't feel safe doing something as mundane as going to the restroom. We have seen violence where, you know, other folks that are using the restroom will attack people because of their perceived gender. And that's a real issue. And so Illinois is a state that is a welcoming state for folks that are, you know, particularly gender non-conforming, gender non-binary, LGBTQ. And this is a part of our overall evolution, right? I mean, our public accommodations have to make space for all people. It is a basic human right to have that be the reality in our state. And so I'm happy that this legislation passes because it gives every part of our state the option to create gender neutral restrooms.
And I think that's important there. You mentioned the option to. So maybe you can just talk through a little bit about what this legislation actually does. What are some of the things that are required or not required by it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a straightforward piece of legislation. It gives, you know, all institutions the option to be able to include gender neutral restrooms on their facilities. I mean, it is so simple and elegant, in fact, and you know, that we had so much blowback and homophobia and transphobia, even on the floor of the Senate when we debated this legislation. A colleague of mine threatened to beat up people who should happen to use a bathroom, you know, if he were in the bathroom with his daughter. And I found that to be disgraceful. I asked that those words be taken out of the record so that, you know, folks across the state would never feel like they'd be in danger for doing something as simple as a call of nature. So it's just such a straightforward piece of legislation. And this is literally ground zero for human rights and public accommodation in our state.
So I'm looking through the actual text of the legislation. You know, some of the requirements are that it would have to have floor to ceiling stall dividers with a functioning locking mechanism and a little partition privacy cover, so you can't look through that little gap between the door and the divider or something like that. Why was it important to include those elements in this legislation?
Well, the good thing is that there were a number of advocacy organizations such as Equality Illinois and other groups that worked with the House and Senate sponsors on this legislation. So these folks are the experts. They know how to, you know, manage the technicality and the details of legislation like this so that we get it right. I'm more interested in this issue from a much bigger, much more high level perspective as a first openly gay person to serve in the Illinois Senate. This is a broader part of a broader fight that we are leading in our state right now. That includes such debates as making sure that we have the right to gender-affirming care for transgender youth, making sure that we have access to basic health care for all gender-expansive folks. And a part of, I would argue, honestly, that a part of healthcare is that someone has the option to use the restroom if they need to, and they're not, you know, running around in fear for being attacked. So, you know, the way that this legislation is crafted, again, there were a number of advocacy organizations that managed the more in the weeds details around floor to ceiling and all those other things. I was not involved in that part of the, sure, the debate. What I was willing to do, though, is, again, as the first openly gay state senator, is to really pound the lectern and say that we are doing this in our state. We are not going to continue to have public accommodations that honestly resemble something from out of the 1950s when it comes to our gender expansive communities.
Well, then maybe, and we're going to hear through the magic of radio. I spoke with a state representative earlier today to make our schedules meet who opposed this. One of the things that he said is, what problem is this bill solving? And that's a question that he raised. How would you answer that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the problem that we're solving is one of fear, right? The fear that folks who are gender expansive have, folks who are transgender have when they do something as mundane as try to use the restroom. We've all been in the situation, all of our listeners here have been in the situation where, you know, you're out and, you know, it's 3 o'clock, you know, you got your kids at the zoo, let's just say, and someone needs to use the restroom and you can't find the restroom and you're walking around for 45, 50 minutes and you can't find the restroom. I've been in that situation as a state senator when I'm, you know, out at events over the weekend and I can't find the bathroom. It is so frustrating to have to experience that. And the thing that I can't fathom is having to struggle to find the restroom and feel like you're in fear for your life. That, well, that bathroom looks safe, but you know, there are people that are going in and out of the restroom that look like they might have a problem with me using that restroom. That is the problem that we're solving here, because that is a issue that has public health implications. I would argue that it has implications for mental health. It has implications for community and public safety. And so it's a, you know, this piece of legislation is just a dramatic step forward for our overall human rights.
Very briefly, we're almost out of time, but what sort of uptake do you expect to be? I mean, we've seen Target get blowback simply for selling merchandise, Pride merchandise this year. Do you expect businesses to take this up, or will this be a slower process?
That's a good question. I mean, and you're right. We have seen just a record amount of, you know, homophobia, queerphobia, transphobia in 2023, nearly 500 pieces of legislation that have been introduced across the state and various state legislatures targeting trans youth, you know, prohibiting trans youth from playing on sports teams, you know, and even dialing back the rights of you know, same-sex couples such as myself. Recently, Target made the decision, as you alluded to remove merchandise from the front of their stores. And so I think that the vast majority of folks, to answer the question, want to be on the right side of history. Yeah. And I think that a number of businesses have already started to include gender neutral restrooms. So I think you'll see a lot of them take advantage of this legislation.
All right, Senator Mike Simmons, thank you for being with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you so much.
And now we're going to hear a perspective in opposition to this legislation from State Representative Joe Sosnowski, who voted against the bill. He represents a district that includes parts of Rockford and stretches up to the Wisconsin border. Again, I spoke with him earlier today in order to make our schedules meet. Representative Sosnowski, welcome to the 21st show. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
So broadly speaking, why did you vote against this legislation?
Well, I think when we talk about gender and gender identity and mixed use bathrooms, you know, just have a lot of concern in regards to, you know, the purpose, the goal. You know, when we're talking about young people using the same bathroom, you know, boys and girls using the bathrooms with adults of mixed sex, you know, it just doesn't, to me, make a lot of sense. You know, it's okay having a family bathroom, which we have now. You know, they're out there, they're available. You know, it's a single use bathroom. You know, I think we have really what we need. And this idea of having, you know, mixed use, everybody in the bathroom at the same time, I think it's just could be a recipe for problems in the future.
Say more about that. What sort of problems are you sort of imagining when you think of legislation like this?
Well, you know, two things. One, I worry more about, you know, young children in a bathroom with an older adult of a different sex. You know, why that's something, you know, that we need to have mixed use bathroom. I'm not quite sure I understand why the proponents of that. But the second thing is, you know, I think it's more of just kind of a fundamental question of why this was proposed to begin with. You know, I understand that there's a movement nationally about gender identity. And, you know, this is part of the, you know, the goal is to introduce these types of things in state legislatures. But what is the problem that we're solving? You know, there isn't an issue that we're solving, and I don't see businesses or places, they weren't really clamoring, asking for this to come about. And when we get into the broader discussion of, you know, women playing men's sports and, you know, there not being any, or if you can pick your own gender, you know, this is kind of like this national movement to introduce these concepts. And, you know, again, I don't think, you know, from my standpoint and what we've seen, you know, men playing and competing against girls in girls' sports.
Well, now,
you know,
okay.
I don't see that as being positive.
That I think that's probably a separate discussion that when we could have an entire program on that. And
sure.
I'm sure we probably will in the future, actually. One thing I wanted to ask about, this is permissive, right? And I've got to imagine
yes.
that, you know, a lot of businesses are not necessarily going to jump on board this train just because they have the opportunity to. Why not give the few businesses, or maybe if you're, you know, an LGBT resource center or something like that wants to do this, why not allow them that opportunity?
Well, again, I think it's, you know, for single use bathrooms, I think we have that out there. You can have a multi-use bathroom that can be for both men and women, or a family bathroom, you know, that's out there already. So the question for the advocates of this is, you know, what goal is this serving? And, you know, what's the purpose of this if we really already have this availability out there for individual companies, or like you said, the LGBT community, or private entities, you know, they can do this now.
Last thing I want to ask you about, one of your Republican colleagues in the Illinois General Assembly, State Senator Neil Anderson, was quoted as saying that if a man follows his daughter into a restroom, he's going to, quote, beat the living piss out of him. There have also reportedly been physical threats made to Representative Katie Stewart, one of the original sponsors of this legislation. I wonder, what is your reaction to the increased temperature around discussing issues like this?
Well, you know, again, I obviously would not condone any sort of violence or threats, you know, so obviously that's not appropriate. And I think if you talk to the senator, you know, I think he was kind of stating, you know, the more of a hyperbolic, you know, situation, an example of saying, hey, I've got a concern, you know, about, you know, young girls and then men, older men being in the bathroom with my daughter. And, you know, I think a lot of parents share that. And again, as parents, everybody would agree that's got young children. You know, we want to create as much safety environment, security as much as possible. And, you know, in regards to the temperature of the discussion, you know, I don't disagree. We need to lower the temperature. And I think one way we do that is by, you know, these types of issues that really fundamentally are not solving any problem. They're a nationalist type of agenda for this, you know, gender fluidity argument. And they're trying to propose these in national or statewide capitals all over. And let's not bring up these issues because they're really not solving any problem. You know, nobody is clamoring and saying, well, we need this to reduce capacity in the girls' bathrooms. Nobody approached the legislature as an advocate promoting that.
I think the backers of this would say, though, that it's not, they're not doing this to create a wedge issue or to wage a culture war. I mean, there's a 2015 survey by the National Center for Transgender Equality that a majority of transgender people in Illinois said they avoided using a public restroom for fear of violence. I think, you know, parents of children who are dealing with these issues would say that they, you know, appreciate the opportunity to, you know, have a safe space to use the restroom. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, let's be honest. I think all of us try to avoid using public bathrooms because honestly, you know, we don't know who's in them. They're not normally the cleanest standards. Some are better than others. And so again, you know, I say that part jokingly, but very seriously, if we're really looking to try to solve a problem, you know, let's look at creating public bathrooms that are fully safe, fully secure for individual usage. And, you know, let's pass some sort of cleanliness requirement. You know, that's what I would see typical Illinois residents asking for, because I don't see anybody clamoring, yeah, I can't wait to go to the public bathroom, you know, rather than using one of theirs at their private residence. So, so again, I get back to, you know, your question asked, you know, about the purpose, but there really wasn't any strong advocates really pushing for this to solve a strong particular need in Illinois.
Representative Joseph Znowski, thank you for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Hey, thanks so much for your time, and I appreciate it. Have a great day.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Coming up in about 20 minutes, my conversation with NPR's Aisha Harris on her new book on pop culture. But for now, we're continuing our conversation about Illinois legislation that would allow for all gender bathrooms that accommodate more than one person at a time. This legislation passed both the Illinois House and Senate, but it would have to be signed by Governor J.B. Pritzker before becoming law. Before the break, we heard from a state senator who backs and co-sponsored this legislation, as well as a state representative who opposed it. And for the final part of our conversation, we're going to be talking about the human side of this story. And to do that, we're joined now by the president of the Bloomington Normal LGBTQ group Prairie Pride, Dave Bentland. Dave, thank you for joining us today on the 21st Show.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
Also with us is Cassie Lucchese. She's the president of Peoria Proud, another Central Illinois LGBTQ organization. Cassie, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me today.
And rounding out our panel is Carrie Ward, who's the president of the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Carrie, thank you for being here as well.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, Dave, I want to begin with you. Broadly speaking, what makes this legislation worth doing? What problem is this trying to solve, is the question we heard before the break.
Well, I'm an LGBTQ activist, but I'm also a pragmatic person. And when I read the background information on this bill and on the number of people it would help, it made a lot of sense to me. I know that your previous guest claimed that this was a solution in search of a problem. I vehemently disagree with that. There are many cases where transgender people feel harassed, threatened, and unsafe when they choose to use the restroom of their choice. And this is a real problem in our state. I have transgender friends in Central Illinois who oftentimes, depending where they are at, really do take a risk when they use a public restroom. And this bill would help them feel a little bit safer and would provide them with the facilities that they need to be in public. In addition to that, there are other people in our state who would benefit from this legislation. I'm thinking of how many times I've gone to a public place like a restaurant, and I've gone to use the restroom, and I've seen a parent standing outside the restroom because they've had to send their child in there because it's not an all-gender restroom. This is a real problem in our state, and this is something that I think parents can definitely relate to. So I believe that this is a good legislation for a number of reasons.
Kathy Lucchese, anything you want to add to that?
No, I would just agree with that sentiment. I mean, we have the bill itself allows businesses the opportunity to provide multi-stall gender-neutral bathrooms. So it's not requiring people to do so, businesses or entities to do so. It's just providing businesses and entities the opportunity to do so. And so anybody who doesn't feel like they have to or or need to do that. They don't, because there are still opportunities with single stall bathrooms that are that do provide neutral spaces. I think the larger question, which the representative prior to us was trying to get at, was that this is a recipe for problems, as what he said. And I just don't think that's the truth. I think we can all agree, everyone goes into the bathroom to use the bathroom. And I'm not sure what other people do in there, but I go in, I do my business, I leave. I'm not sitting in there chatting with people. I'm not waiting around for folks, you know? And I think that concept of, oh my gosh, this is a recipe for disaster, it is a scare tactic, to be quite honest.
Yeah, not to be flip about this, but I would certainly support a no speaking in the bathroom law if we could pass that myself. And I guess it's worth pausing on what this would actually look like if enacted. And I mentioned some of the requirements of the legislation again, but in case somebody's just joining us, it would have to have floor to ceiling stall dividers, so like full doors in these stalls that make them each individual toilet area a little room. There's no urinals, so it's not like there would be a bunch of people standing at the urinal as well in these restrooms. It would all basically be sinks and stalls is how I read the legislation anyway. I don't know if either of you or any of you have any different perspective on that. Let me bring in Carrie Ward, who is, again, president of the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault. ICASA, as the organization is known, supported this legislation, as did another anti-assault organization and the Coalition Against Domestic Violence. From your perspective, Carrie Ward, what makes this law or legislation worth supporting?
So what I would say is that the reason ICASA submitted a witness slip in support of this bill is because it aligns with our core beliefs regarding equity and inclusion. And, you know, I think one of the things that was important for us to be on record with is that sometimes in opposition to a bill like this, folks say things like their effort is to prevent sexual assaults, that you know, they need to oppose this bill because they think having something like a multi-gender restroom enhances the ability for sexual assault to occur. And in our experience, that's just not true. There's an implication there, in particular, that folks who are transgender are somehow more dangerous or more likely to commit sexual assault than cisgender people. And that's not true. We're not aware of any research that supports that. And we don't think that anyone is in any greater danger in a multi-gender bathroom than they are in a single gender bathroom. And we don't want to have, you know, issues and scare tactics related to sexual violence used as a reason to oppose equity, used as a reason to leave people out and not make access to using the facilities, which, you know, I agree with what everyone said, is most people just want to get in and get out and not have any undue attention drawn to them in that process. And so I think it was important for us to, you know, to come out in support of this bill to say, you know, it aligns. Equity and inclusion is important, and this is a good way to achieve that.
So let's put a point on it then. As the leader of an organization that works to prevent sexual assault, what do you say to opponents who would say that creating bathrooms like this would lead to violence against women, and especially girls?
Right. What we'd say is that we actually know that folks who are at more risk for sexual violence are transgender individuals. That in fact, you know, data really supports that the likelihood for someone who's transgender to experience sexual violence is that 1 in 2 transgender people in their lifetime experience sexual violence. So when we're talking about folks that it seems people are, you know, potentially afraid of, are the very folks who are actually more vulnerable to, you know, to the type of harm that's being used to invoke that fear. And so we think it's really important that folks of any gender, or folks who are non-binary, folks can choose to use the restroom and have it immediately available to them rather than having to identify a gender-specific bathroom. And, you know, I would also just comment that I think the comment that the representative made earlier is that, you know, what problem are we trying to solve? And I think it's important that we acknowledge that something isn't not a problem because it's not a problem for you. And so I think that it is a problem in general if folks struggle to determine where they can use the restroom or if they're safe in using a restroom or not. So removing those kinds of barriers not only solve a problem, but they make it easier for anyone who needs to access a facility. So just because it's not a problem for you doesn't make it not a problem at all.
Dave Bentlin from Prairie Pride, some of the opponents of this legislation have suggested it might lead to a different kind of violence. I mentioned in my conversation with Representative Sosnowski that a different Republican state lawmaker, State Senator Neil Anderson, was quoted, or I should say he just said on the floor of the Senate, that if a man was in the restroom with his daughter, he would beat them up. The sponsor of this bill also reportedly received threats of violence, enough that she was forced to cancel public events. Dave, what do you think about that, given the statistics we've been talking about trans folks' fear of violence for using the restroom?
Well, it's a very real fear. And I know your previous guest talked about lowering the temperature on this issue. And those types of words coming from that senator did just the exact opposite. And as our previous speakers have said in this session, transgender people are at greater risk of violence than any child. And I will add that from what I understand, the city of Chicago has an ordinance in place that allows for multi-occupancy, all-gender restrooms. And I think that if there were any problems with those facilities, that the opposition would have uncovered that and they would have held those up as examples of why this legislation should not be supported. I have not heard of any problems with that. So I think that this is a situation where people are raising the temperature unnecessarily, and that this is common sense legislation in a lot of way, and that the vast majority of people are on board with this idea.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about pending legislation in Illinois. It's passed both the House and Senate, still awaiting action from the governor, that would allow for multi-gender, multi-occupancy restrooms in Illinois. Floor-to-ceiling doors and stall dividers, but they could be used by people of any gender. And we're talking about this with Dave Bentlin, who is with president of the Bloomington Normal LGBTQ group, Prairie Pride. Also, Kerry Ward, who's president of the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault, and Cassie Lucchese, who's president of Peoria Proud, which is another Central Illinois LGBTQ organization. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. Cassie, last week the group, the Human Rights Campaign, the advocacy group, declared a national emergency for all LGBTQ people in the United States, citing the surge in anti-LGBT legislation in state houses. How do you see legislation like this fitting into that broader national context?
Well, I think it's worth mentioning that this isn't the first kind of warning that's been issued to LGBTQ folks in the last several months. The Department of Homeland Security issued a domestic terrorism bulletin back in November of 2022. So this is a continuing problem. I think where it comes to legislation is where we're going to see states that are solidifying human rights in their legislature, and states who are attacking human rights in their legislature. We're fortunate to live in Illinois, where we have some of the most trans-friendly protections on the books in the United States and the most LGBTQ protections in the United States. It's worth noting that I think we're going to see a lot of people moving to Illinois from surrounding states because of what's going on in legislature across the nation right now.
We also heard one of our previous guests make this passing reference to the, quote, gender fluidity argument, this idea of a national agenda. I mean, arguably, there is an agenda to be more inclusive and equitable for all people, I think you would say. But I think he meant something else. Cassie, what do you make of that?
It's a really great question. So I think what it comes down to is acknowledging that people know themselves better than other people know them. And I think that it comes down to respect. So I feel like we have in the nation right now a pretty big divide for people who are just simply not willing to understand that people know themselves better. I know about me better than you know about me. And I think that's true for the transgender population, for the non-binary, gender non-conforming population, gender fluid population. And so when we don't see people as a whole, we don't respect them as a whole, then this broader conversation of being scared of something that we don't understand or that we can't wrap our heads around, I think that's where people are hung up, to be quite honest.
Carrie Ward with ICASA. Yesterday on the program, we talked about some of the backlash to sort of corporate pride campaigns. I wonder what, if you think, do you foresee a lot of businesses taking up the opportunity, assuming this legislation is signed into law, to, you know, sort of rip the gendering off their existing restrooms and rebuild in this mold, or new businesses taking up the opportunity to do this?
I don't know if they will, but I certainly hope they will. I think it's an opportunity. It's an acknowledgement. It's an, you know, out front way to say we are accepting and willing, and that we recognize the rights of all people to have access to information and facilities. And I think it also doesn't take anything away from anyone else. And I think that's one of the most, you know, to me, one of the clearest, most transparent things about inclusivity is the intent isn't to take anything away from anyone else. It's just to make it more available to everyone. And so I certainly hope that, you know, businesses will take that opportunity. I certainly hope they will look at this as a chance to reach out to more of their, you know, customer base or their constituency. And we cannot proceed with letting the, you know, sort of what I would perceive as small minority of folks who are really resistant to expansion or to people being, as Cassie said, people being and knowing themselves as a reason to, as a reason not to expand, not to be more open, not to be more equal.
Dave, how do you think about that? We've seen this backlash this year with Target and Anheuser-Busch in their, some of their pride marketing efforts. Do you foresee that possibility with this legislation on businesses that take it up?
Well, I think the difference with this legislation is that, as Cassie said earlier, it is optional. It does not require that multi-occupancy restrooms be converted to all-gender multi-occupancy restrooms. It gives the business owner, the building owner, the facility owner the option to install these restrooms in their facilities. And that's what we're looking for. I'm trying to bring down the temperature on this, because I think when you raise fear about an issue, that's when the chance for understanding goes away. I mean, I was just in a Target store earlier this month buying clothes because, like everybody else, during the pandemic, I gained a few pounds and I had to buy some new summer clothes. And I picked out some things to take into their dressing room, and it was a dressing room that was for all genders. It wasn't a separate men's dressing room. It wasn't a separate women's dressing room. And people were using it. People of all genders were using that dressing room, and there was no problem. So again, I think that this is a case where people are trying to whip up fear when there really should be an opportunity for understanding. And that's what I hope that this legislation will help us do.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for being with us today to talk about this on the 21st Show. Dave Bentlin, Cassie Lucchese, and Carrie Ward, we very much appreciate it. We need to take a break. More to come when we continue. This is the 21st Show. Do stay with us.